This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are, do you know who your friends, cohorts, co-workers, and business associates voted for? We'll talk about that. Hackers, of course, as you should not be surprised, are targeting the midterm elections. We'll talk about what they've done so far. The Charter Spectrum CEO is upset about password sharing on streaming accounts and wants action. And a new banking scam that's stealing a lot of money. That and much, much more. I want to welcome you to episode 1325 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, November 5th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to everyone. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, if you're one of the longtime listeners or viewers, I want to say thank you for being part of the Ohana. For those of you who are brand new to the show, all you got to do is take some time, get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're over on the website, get subscribed to the show. Right there on the side column on every single page on this website, you can find Apple Podcasts on Android via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. There's really about 100 different ways to listen to a podcast, but I give you those as primary options. Of course, the RSS feed, and if you have no idea what I'm talking about, click on the more subscribe options. That'll give you the instructions, the manual on how to get set up and get subscribed to the show. Of course, we want you to visit Geek News Central on a regular basis to read all the great content that's basically put online by a lot of great writers. I want to thank them for all their great content. Of course, you can subscribe to the show when you're over there as well. And you can watch this show on the Apple TV via the Geek News Central podcast video version, or you can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. This show is live. We're live every Monday and Thursday night. You can find the live stream at live.geeknewscentral.com. Of course, we're in multiple other places as well. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and of course over at Mixer. You can join our chat room. Our chat room is real simple, geeknews.chat. Join our Mastodon chat server. Come over and say hello. Feel free to add articles that I should be talking about. Of course, if you don't want to do that, it's real easy to stay in contact with me. It's very, very simple. All you have to do is send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Partner shows include the GNC Week in Review. And Kirk wanted me to basically tell everyone he apologized for not getting the show out on Friday. He was basically sick, got a massive sinus something going on. He could hardly navigate for a couple of days. So the inaugural episode of that show will be out later this week. So look forward to that when he gets it up online. Of course, the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by my writing team, the new media show at newmediashow.com, and of course, the Podcast Legends show at podcastlegends.com. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is sponsored by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And don't forget, you can pick up great deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. GoDaddy is the longest continuous sponsor of a podcast in the podcasting space, having supported this show since June of 2005. We want to thank them for their ongoing support. And of course, we want to encourage you to save money over at GoDaddy.com. It's real simple, folks. Whether it be 30% off new product purchases, whether it be a 99cent.com, whether it be $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Again, that's an exceptional value. A domain, .com costs $849 retail, all right? So you're getting 12 months of hosting for $12. $8.49 is the domain value. So it's really simple math. $351. That's what it's costing you to have a website, because otherwise you'd have to go out and buy a domain, right, to go along with the website. So those two deals there alone are the best deals in the absolute universe when it comes to hosting a website. Can't beat it. Of course, business owners, you should consider 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All my promo codes are on the website. You can cut and paste those at checkout, or you can click on them to lock in the savings, whether it be CJC Geek 30, CJC Geek 99, CJC Geek 1H, CJC Geek 1W, CJC GNC free. All those codes is what it takes to get some savings over at GoDaddy. Now, you can get there and find those codes, again, at geekandcenter.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go. Come on the website. Share that page with your friends, family members, people that you know, associates, anybody. Don't put it on the bathroom wall. That would be bad. But we want you to share these codes with everyone, and a link to this page. This helps the show a great deal. It's like a like-kind donation, so we appreciate it when you do that and share my codes again with your friends and family. And remember, these promo codes keep this podcast online, keeps my independent writing team employed. Again, you're supporting a small team of independent content creators by using one of my promo codes. And this will support us in the effort, keeping the lights on, keeping the family fed, gas in the car, insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So we want to thank GoDaddy again for being a sponsor here, but it is really, truly growing, going to keeping this enterprise afloat. And that's what it does. So share those codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. And again, thank you, GoDaddy, for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right. So got some stuff to go through. And it was kind of a weird start to the show today, because everything was working fine and then it just fell off a cliff. So I have no idea what's going on. YouTube's complaining now. I did speed checks. Everything appeared to be operating the way it should. Again, it's just sometimes things are like on like Donkey Kong, or any other times it's crazy, wants to fall apart. But that's the beauty of doing live and being a one-man production show, partially. That's part of it. So just want to talk a little bit here. My wife flew out this afternoon on her way to Spain. She is joining her sister, who's going to an international karate championship that her nephew is participating. He is a highly ranked professional karate athlete. They will be, him and his teammates will be competing in Spain. So she's gone for the week to do that. She's flying out today. She'll be in New York City. She's got all day to explore New York. So she's going to go to lands in the morning. Then she's going to, she can check her bag early at British Airways, because that's the next leg that she's taking. And then she's going to get into Manhattan and go to the 9/11 Memorial. She's going to go through that and then maybe into Chinatown and whoever knows. But then she has to be back in the airport late in the afternoon for her flight to Spain. So she's got quite a day ahead of her. Probably be a zombie by the time she gets there. That was her choice to fly the way she was, to have such a long layover. She's using her benefits. So she's flying from here to JFK free. And then when she gets into JFK, she switches to, they have this system that they can use where they pay really pennies on the dollar to fly another airline. They do have to pay, but they're standby. They go on, you know, seat reserve. And I guess this is a low time for travel to Spain. So I'm hoping she gets on. So we'll see what happens here. But anyway, that's that's what's going on with her. And we're on our own here for the next week. Had a weird, you know, very rarely do I get triggered by a food smell. But I was somewhere this afternoon and I kept smelling Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, I buy Kentucky Fried Chicken maybe once a year. It's not something I go and buy. First of all, it's very expensive here in Hawaii. It's just, you know, if you go there and you're going to spend some bucks. But it just, I kept getting that whiff of that, you know, the original KFC chicken. And I about to drive myself crazy. And I had to go buy some KFC and, you know, and I knew what was going to happen. So I got there and I bought the thing. Okay, how many is the kid's going to eat? And, you know, I think I bought 12 piece or 14 piece or something. I brought it back home and I walked into the house and I don't know what it is, but my son came, "Oh, it smells so good." I have no idea what triggered me, but it really hit me today. So that sense of smell sometimes gets you. Do you ever run into it? It rarely happens to me. I'm not really affected that way. But something about smelling that KFC today just drove me over the edge. And I had to pick up a bucket of chicken, of course, get coleslaw and everything else. But, and, you know, once you eat one piece, you're kind of like, wow, that was kind of underwhelming, right? So anyway, there's a bucket of chicken in the fridge. Band competition this weekend. My son's marching band competed. It was raining on and off. It was a great, like 16, 17 schools started like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, went for like 6 straight hours in high school bleachers. You know, my finally, and it was crowded and we were, you know, elbow to elbow and shoulder to shoulder. And finally about 9 o'clock, I said, I need to get up and move around. I'm going to die sitting in these bleachers. And I basically stood for the rest of the competition, but that's just too long to sit in a bleacher and one of those non-backed, we don't have any of those back chairs here. Oh, it was miserable. And I think I got home Saturday night. By the time everything got wrapped up, we were here like 12:45. And I think I, for the first time in like 10 years, I think I slept for 8 hours. My back was like, yes, 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 sleep. So Sunday was kind of a lazy day. Took care of some stuff around here. But I have had to talk to you guys a little bit about on the water damage we had from the refrigerator that broke and everything. So insurance is coming to take a look at that. So we'll see how that ends up. I'm expecting to get screwed like any other time I've dealt with my insurance company, but time will tell. But that's what's happening here. And anyway, thanks for being here. Sorry for sniffing my nose there, but let's go ahead and get in the stack. I think we've all known for many, many years that voter information can be purchased. Now, what I mean by voter information, I'm talking about essentially if you're registered to vote, number one. Number two, what elections you voted in, if you voted in the primaries. And if you are registered as a Republican, Democrat, independent, you know, a lot of this data is actually public information. Now, who you voted for is obviously still private when you go into the ballot box. But there's a new app out called Vote With Me and Outvote. And these two political apps are trying to use peer pressure to get people to vote. And an example that this writer gave in the New York Times, it says, my dentist is a registered Republican, and he did not vote in the last midterm election 2014. But the owner of my local bookstore, a registered Democrat, did vote then. So did my accountant, who is not registered with either party. So I think our close friends, we probably know where their political allegiances lay. And there should be no surprise who they vote for. But your dentist, your accountant, maybe, you know, you don't have that type of relationship to be having those types of conversations. Now, maybe you go into their office and you see something and it makes you give an indication. But being political as a business owner is dangerous, right? You can lose customers over it. So an example of this is I walked into a business recently and a specific news network was playing on the television. And that news network that was playing made me assume, based upon it being on, that the business I was in, the business owner, was affiliated a certain way. That's the last impression I really want to get when I walk into someone's business. I want to see things be neutral, right? You don't want to bring politics into business relationships. So while I understand what this app is trying to do, or these apps, it does concern me to the point where we're so politically hostile right now. There's so much actual hostilities and animosity and whatever word you want to say, one group against the other and vice versa, that this kind of information, if you really want to make sure that you're doing a business with people that only vote a certain way, could really cause some breakups of business dealings and so forth. I don't want to know who my dentist votes for. I don't want to know who my plumber votes for. I don't care about that. But this app links you to your friends. It looks your friends up through your contact list, and it shows you if they registered with a specific party and their voting behavior. In some instances, it can show in the primaries if you voted Democrat or if you voted Republican. Which is kind of, wow, how do they know that? So, you know, if you're a registered Democrat and on a primary, you go into the booth and you vote a Republican ticket versus a Democratic ticket, no one's going to know that. And vice versa. You know, in all states in the primaries, you have to vote only with one party. You can't, you know, most states you can't cross. On the primaries, you generally can. You can vote for the candidate, you know, you can Republican, Independent, Green, you know, whichever way you want to go on a primary, but not a primary, but, you know, on a general election. So I see this and these apps could have these unintended consequences. And they could use the app to create contact lists of acquaintances, strangers, or public figures they do not like and maliciously publicize their voting histories. As a hypothetical example, religious leaders might be outed for registering with a political party whose platform runs counter to their institution's doctrine. Now, for many, many years, you've been able to buy this information. This is not something that is necessary. You can buy a lot of this data already. And most of the big parties have done this for many, many years. So this just brings it to a whole nother level. And I don't. What do you guys think? Do you guys like this or not? That people can actually you know, see where you, and is it going to stop you? Is it going to prevent you from actually going out and voting? And, you know, that's the question, right? All right, moving on here. Anyway, I hope you've all voted. And tomorrow's going to be an exciting day. One way or the other. For some of you, it's already exciting day because you're listening to the show on Tuesday. Hackers have supposedly targeted election officials, voter data ahead of the midterms. And this is an article by CNET. And they've apparently had, quote unquote, limited success. And it's basically they're saying that it's not any different than any other year. Government agencies have logged more than 160 reports of suspected interference since August 1st. In recent weeks, the pace of suspicious activities increased as many as 10 incidents a day. The Department of Homeland Security threat report shows states have flagged attempt by foreign hackers to steal voter data and access email accounts from state offices. According to the Globe, other incidents reportedly include injection of malicious computer code and bogus requests for voter registration forms. So, Says, while we are aware of cyber actors targeting election infrastructure, the tactics used in these activities are common and not unique to election systems. Said Scott McConnell, a Department of Homeland Security spokesperson, an email statement, to be clear, we have not attributed any of this activity to a nation state, nor do we have any reason to believe it to be part of a broader campaign. So the question I have for all of you on this type of, we know this has been going on. We know that some black hat events have shown how easy it is to hack voting machines. Do you trust that if you are actually going to the poll tomorrow and you haven't filed an absentee ballot, do you actually trust the system to record your vote accurately? Or do you think at some point that the way these hackers are, that we're going to have to go back to just paper? What do you guys think? Do you think that the voting results tomorrow are actually secure? Do you think that they have been manipulated? How would we know? Really, right? We can only speculate at this point. But I tell you, I'll be honest with you, I have true concern with the weakness in these Internet of Things, you know, voting machines, these devices. You know, there's so many of them. And if they haven't gotten patched and updated, you know, most of these are very susceptible to hacking. And I just wonder if it can throw an election. That is yet to be seen, but time will tell, right? Moving away from the political spectrum here, this is a hit 'em home. This is a classic Geek News Central piece that I like to talk about. It falls along similar lines of things that we've talked over many, many years on this show. But for years now, streaming video producers or providers like HBO and Netflix have taken a relative lax approach to password sharing. Now, my daughter, when she was living out of the house and staying with her boyfriend, she was using my Netflix account there and I was using my Netflix account here. I got irritated a few times because I couldn't use Netflix because she was on. There was, you know, and there was too many people in this house using it. And since she's moved back home, that is not as big of an issue, but it was technically outside of one household, right? Because she had her own apartment. She should have technically been paying for Netflix on her own, but she's a broke college student, so I could hardly blame her. That said, Charter Spectrum CEO is whining about streaming password sharing, because here's what's happening. People are cutting the cord. We've cut the cord here, but what have we been getting in the mail? Offers for their digital package. 21 channels, $21.95. It didn't look too bad of an offering, but it was a buck a channel. And I passed. But what if I had signed up for their streaming service? and one of my kids moved out and got an internet connection somewhere and wanted to use my login to log in to the same network and get the same channels. Technically, it's the same thing would be happening with Netflix. But the CEO says, there's a lot of extra streams. There's a lot of extra passwords. There's a lot of people who could get free service. Of course, they're happening. So there's a lot of extra streams. There's a lot of passwords. There's lots of people who would get, who could, I should say, who are getting free service. It's piracy. It's people consuming something they haven't paid for. The more the practice is viewed with a shrug, the more it creates a dynamic where people believe it's acceptable and it's not. And he was at it again a bit later in the week. During his company's latest earnings call, he proclaimed that streaming providers like HBO and Netflix clearly don't know what they're doing because they refuse to crack down on they're calling it villainous practice of password sharing. By the content companies going over the top without having the experience of being distributors, they've done that in a way without securing their content, which any distributor would theoretically do if they knew what they were doing. But that hasn't been the case. So you have free service all over the country, though, through passwords. The reality is television can be had fairly easy without paying for it due to the sharing of passwords. So he's very, very upset and he wants to do away with passwords. Well, what does this mean? Well, he's probably going to want to register devices. He's going to want to control how you get access to streaming content. He wants to be assured that if I pay $21.95 for 21 channels of his digital offering, that that content is only consumed within the walls of this dwelling that I live in. And it's probably true. Probably people are sharing usernames and passwords all over the place. Obviously, they can see that data is going to a variety of different IPs and technically probably could crack down on it. But he says, granted, just because television can sometimes be had fairly easy without paying for it, doesn't mean it's bad or it's piracy. Millions of users increasingly are flocking to over-the-air antenna. Oh, this is what someone else said. Granted, to flocking to over-the-air antennas as an alternative to the bloated expensive cable bundles. Execs like Rutledge simply can't move on from. It's worth noting that this is a problem that really isn't. Most streaming services already limit simultaneous streams per account, and being able to share your password with a limited set of friends and family is part of the value equation you're paying for. I agree. My daughter should be able to use my account. Now, should she be able to use it while she's out of the house? I guess if I'm not, she could, but this is what he doesn't want. This is not what the Charter Spectrum CEO wants. So what's your thoughts? What are your thoughts in this audience on the sharing of usernames and passwords for streaming services? Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Charter's cable offering, YouTube TV, that kind of stuff. What do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. There's a new banking scheme out there. If you receive a text from your bank letting you know your account's been locked, you may want to think twice before following its instructions. Scammers are using a combination of fake text and cardless ATMs to steal thousands of dollars from unsuspecting people. The scam made them a killing in a fairly short window of time. Scammers have stolen $68,000 from around 125 Fifth Third Bank customers in Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, in fewer than 2 weeks. Here's how it works. Fraudsters text banking customers claiming that their bank accounts have been locked. The text includes a link that sends customers to a lookalike of the bank's website where they enter their account credentials, including username, passwords, one-time passcodes, and PIN numbers. Once the scammers have this info, they can use it at the cardless ATMs to steal the customer's money. Cardless ATMs let customers use their smartphones to get cash rather than relying on a debit card. They're not that incredibly common yet. They have them all over the place here in Hawaii, but are used by most of the big banks such as Chase, as well as regional banks like Fifth Third, as a convenience to customers. They're reportedly more secure than standard ATMs, or at least that's what the financial industry is saying. But with all the new financial innovation, scammers have found a new way to exploit them. As Fifth Third example illustrates, scammers need only a username, password, and PIN to steal cash in some of these cases. So never respond to a text about your bank being locked. Call your bank or go to a browser and go to the normal URL that you use to log into that account. Never click a link that's been provided to you. Okay? Beware. A lot of this stuff going on. Amazon has dropped its $25 free shipping minimum for all U.S. holiday shoppers. So Amazon, Target, Walmart, and others are fighting hard for your holiday dollars. And so this $25 minimum order is being waived to get your free shipping for a limited time. So that puts them in step with competitor Target, which waived its $35 order minimum for now and offers 3-day 2 shipping to all customers through December 22nd. Walmart, Amazon's biggest competitor in the U.S., has kept its $35 minimum threshold for free shipping for this holiday season so far, at least. And of course, Amazon wants you to shop with them. And removing the minimum order amount could convince non-Prime members to shop at Amazon. You know, Amazon's sometimes really stupid. I ordered 5 pairs of shorts, some Under Armour. It was probably total order with the belt, a couple other things. It was about a little over $200. And I would expect all that. And it was like 3 manufacturers. I would expect all that to come at once. No, they've been coming one piece at a time. And I'm just like, why not have grouped it all together? Because all of it shipped from the warehouse. Why did it each come one piece by one piece? It seems like a lot of money being wasted there. But that's how it's showing up so far, piece by piece. SpaceX, pretty cool stuff here. They have a helipad-equipped boat that's going to bring the astronauts safely home. So they basically have got their capsule recovery ship just about ready. And they've done some dramatic dress rehearsals, running through how they rescue injured astronauts. So when SpaceX starts flying astronauts to and from the International Space Station next year, the company's ocean vessel Go Searcher will be tasked with recovering SpaceX crewed Dragon capsules that splashed down in the Atlantic Ocean. Yes, they're going to be splashing down. The ship is now equipped for a worst-case scenario with medical treatment facilities and a helipad in case returning astronauts need to be evacuated quickly to a hospital. They will not be landing like a Falcon 9. They can't. They're actually going to be in a capsule, kind of the same type of dealio that the Apollo astronauts came back in. It's, same concept here. So this is pretty cool what they've got ready. And as a astronaut that's doing a reentry, I don't think I'd want to land that way anyway. It's probably not even possible with this current generation of a capsule that they're going to space in. NASA has the first 8K video from space. It's pretty awesome. The question is, how many of us even have a monitor that can watch this? It's a YouTube video, first 8K video from space, and they're saying it's fantastic. Do you have an 8K television? Does it really matter? The 8K imagery is so clear that it makes you feel like you're floating right alongside them. I haven't played it here on my big monitor yet. I will. I'll let you guys do it too. Maybe you guys will weigh in and tell me what it looks like. Hey, Neil Armstrong's collection commands $5.2 million at auction. That's pretty cool. Bumper sticker advertising the city as a hometown first man to space sold for $250. At the opposite end of the bumper sticker spectrum, topping the sales results at nearly $500,000 was a label of a different type, a metal spacecraft ID plate that landed on the moon with Armstrong and was presented to him post-flight, sold for $468,000. So this was something that actually was flown to the surface of the moon. So that's amazing. $468,000. Is it really? It's just a hunk of metal. Is it really that valuable? The plaque mounted plate, which was one of three flown aboard the Apollo 11 lunar module Eagle during the world's first piloted moon landing on July 20th, 1969, opened at $110,000. After 3 minutes of back and forth bids, each rating by 10,000, one of about 20 bidders who attended the sale out of the more than 2,449 that participated, won it again for, won it for $380,000. The $486,000 sale price includes a 25% buyer's premium. Wow. So they knew they were paying an additional 25%, but a whole bunch of stuff was sold. Again, raising a total of like $5.2 million at auction. So tell me there is an interest in space. The Supreme Court has rejected a industry challenge of the 2015 net neutrality rules. This is kind of interesting. The U.S. Supreme Court has declined to hear the broadband industry challenge of the Obama era net neutrality rules. If you remember, the Federal Communications Commission 2015 order to impose net neutrality rules and strictly regulate broadband was reversed, of course. But the broadband industry, if they would have won, could have prevented future administrations from imposing a similar strict set of rules. So this did not happen. The current administration supported the industry's case, asking the U.S. Supreme Court to vacate the Obama-era ruling. They did not. They denied the petition filed by AT&T and Broadband Lobby Group, NCTA, CTIA, U.S. Telecom, and the American Cable Association. Four of the nine justices must agree to hear the case, but only three have voted to grant the petition. According to Supreme Court announcements, Justice Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch would grant the petitions, vacate the judgment. But Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh recuse themselves from the case. Roberts owned a stock in AT&T, and Kavanaugh took part in a case when he was a judge in the DC Circuit Appeal. So they just didn't have enough judge. Well, you know, that was two people recused themselves, and then the other votes didn't come in. So anyway. It's not going to be heard by the Supreme Court. The lower court ruling stands, which upheld the rule. There's some coding projects for kids using Microsoft Small Basic. What is Microsoft Small Basic, if you may ask? It's a language designed to make it easier to learn the basics of coding, aimed at children, but perfect for adults too. It provides a stripped back language and user-friendly interface. Now in its 10th year, MSB is a forgiving integrated development environment that allows some wiggle room with syntax that helps avoid some of the frustrations beginner coders can typically experience. The project is a walkthrough of coding a personalized clock. The project covers simple programming concepts, and while aimed at children, beginner adults can also benefit following along. So pretty cool. And nice little projects here. I remember when I was doing some stuff in BASIC when I was a kid. That's a long, long time ago. Had a lot of fun with that. So again, Microsoft Small BASIC. Link will be up in the show notes for you to take a link to. Amazon has improved Alexa responses with four new variables: food, sports, video games, and creative works. When a third-party app skill for Amazon Beep Voice Assistant politely ask that you invoked an actor, airline, athlete, author, or some other noun in response to a question, it's specifying a slot type, and entity defines how data is recognized and handled. Okay, well, that's a lot of gobbledygook here. I just want to know how to ask the skill. When building an Amazon Alexa skill, developers define a voice integration model that describes how users will interact with the skill. So, they don't give any examples here. This is mostly for coders. So I'll leave this up there. But anyway, they've added some news responses for you-know-who, again, for food, sports, video games, and creative works. Link will be up in the show notes for those of you at VentureBeat.com. Lowest price, $50 off, Apple new 2008 MacBook Air and iPad Pro. So, that's a discount of $50. Not much of a savings. that's, $50. People are getting excited. Yay, it's $50 off on $1,149 or $1,199, MacBook Air. And they can get it for $1,149. Yoo-hoo! and the 12.9 iPad Pro is on sale for $949 instead of $999. Go get them. How many of you that listen to the show know what the ping command is? And do you know what... Have you heard ping before? It's a command that's pretty basic when it comes to internet test. You can test your internet connection using some third-party platforms, but you can also do this right on your own desktop. Like within Windows, you do the run command and you basically do CMD, and it will open up a text box, and you can type in there ping geeknewscentral.com. And you'll actually see my server respond to you when you do that. It's a way to kind of test your internet connection. And it'll tell you the reply IP. And it'll tell you how many bytes was replied in the total time, the round trip time of the ping. There's also a bunch of command line stuff that you can use with ping. So if you want to learn that, all you do is just type in ping and hit return. And it'll show you all the sub commands that can be used. So ping is a pretty useful tool. Another useful tool that I've used a lot over the years is called Traceroute. And again, these are commands that are built right into every computer, Mac or PC, that allow you to check a route. Traceroute checks a route of how your internet data gets from point A to point B. It can show if it gets slowed down somewhere. Ping is basically making sure that you're actually touching the site you're trying to get to. So again, if you don't never used ping before, it's kind of fun to play with it. Just remember Control C or Apple C gets you out of the, stops it from repeating forever. Amazon may split the new headquarters between two cities. And wow, this is an interesting move here. It's largely because Amazon doesn't think they can find enough talent to fill a single HQ location. And I wonder what this really means for tax incentives and things like that the companies are offering to Amazon. So they made a decision to divide the HQ2 evenly between two locations with 25,000 jobs each. And they say it's mainly a matter of finding enough technology talent in each location. It would also reduce the potential for housing and transportation problems that would come when 50,000 people are working at one facility. And but it's looking like Arlington's Crystal City, Dallas, and New York City. So is that Arlington? Is that Arlington in Texas? North Dallas? Is that what they're talking about? All right, so maybe a announcement coming next week. So we'll see who's getting the Christmas present of employees. Google honored Michael, I can't even pronounce this guy's name, I apologize, Dertouzos, D-E-R-T-O-U-Z-O-S, Dertouzos, who predicted the internet's impact. The computer science would have been 82 today. And he basically was a scientist that worked at MIT, and he spearheaded many of the lab's innovation, including some of the stuff for the World Wide Web Consortium, W3C. And he made a lot of predictions about the internet. And there was him, he spoke a lot of different places about it. So he pretty much nailed it. So I really didn't know anything about this gentleman until today. a pretty cool little history piece, and good on Google for honoring his contributions. Over at lifehacker.com, you know, when we need to find an emergency room, it's often done in a panic, right? If you're somewhere, like if you live, if where you live now, you most likely know where your closest emergency room is. But if you get in your car and you drive across town and end up in a restaurant and you have some sort of medical emergency that doesn't quite need an ambulance, but you're at a point where you think you should go to the emergency room, you may have a problem really figuring that out quickly. And there's an iOS shortcut that can help mitigate that scenario. And its ability, basically, it's a find closest ER shortcut. And it offers you a go-to button for medical emergencies, but one that gives you more information, expands your options for when you have a medical emergency. It requires a hospital, but you aren't sure how to deal with it. This shortcut uses the GPS and maps to find the hospital's emergency room closest to your location. After generating the list, you can choose a hospital to get walking, driving, or mass transit directions to, order an Uber, or call 911. Even if you're freaking out, the shortcut is structured in a way that lets you decide what to do and shows you exactly how to do it. So this is pretty slick, because if you're alone and you're in a panic, you know, for example, let's say you break your arm. Well, probably you can go to the hospital without an ambulance if the bone isn't sticking out of your skin, right? There's certain stuff that you can get yourself to the ER on your own. Now, if you're having a heart attack and you're 5 minutes from the hospital, you get your butt to the hospital in a vehicle that's the closest available, or because usually the ambulances are not stationed at the hospital. You may wait 15 minutes for a hospital that's 5 minutes away. So you really have to kind of weigh this. So, you know, where I lived, you know, when I grew up, you needed to go ER. You got thrown in the back of a car and you went to town at 100 miles an hour. You know, that was how we went to the ER. You didn't call an ambulance. Now, when my grandparents got older, they weren't really capable of getting in the car and driving 100 miles an hour to town. So they would call an ambulance, because that was the fastest way for them to get treatment. So anyway, this is a pretty cool little shortcut, and that the folks at Lifehacker have found it. And it's not only that, calculating a tip, clearing out your camera roll, finding some caffeine. There's all kinds of little shortcuts you can build in iOS. Apple has re-released watchOS 5.11 after previous update bricked devices. So now you can go ahead and do that update. I think I'll wait a few days just in case they decide to brick a few more. Over at The Verge, there's a very good interview with Senator Mark Warner. He is, I believe, a Democrat out of Virginia. And he's basically, the title of this is Senator Mark Warner Breaking Up Facebook and Congress Plan to Regulate Tech. And he just came out with a white paper that's pretty extensive that basically was driven, he was driven to write after Mark Zuckerberg wouldn't come to Congress. And when you have bipartisan support to go after tech companies for privacy and a whole other list of issues, advertising tracking, there could be some serious impact to companies. But anyway, this is a good interview, and I'll let you all read through it. But a few things said in there made me go, wow, are they really considered about doing this to them or setting that in place? Government regulations are never good one way or the other. Industry's going to have to figure out a way to fix themselves in some of these things. Want an iPhone 8? Apple's now selling them for $499 refurbished. So that's pretty cool. It was spotted by 9to5 Toys. Apple has both iPhone 8 with iPhone 8 Plus available in silver, space gray, or gold with 64 gigs of storage. What else? The iPhone 8 is available for $499, while the larger model is available for $599. And if you want to save some money, this is a good option. My mom's got the iPhone XR. She's very happy with it so far. Verizon has made some change. Remember they changed to this company called Oath, O-A-T-H? Well, it was a dumb branding move, and I think they figured it out. Oath will soon be rebranded as Verizon Media Group. They're actually going to create three different divisions, companies, and Verizon Media Group is one of them. So I'm just kind of laugh here that they're getting rid of the name Oath. It really made not much sense to begin with anyway. I wonder if they came up with that with some sort of internal company contest. And I don't know, just it's a dumb name. There's a 1 terabyte Western Digital Blue SSD from Newegg at a new low price of $130. That's pretty good. So it looks like the SSDs are going on sale every week. But this is this a regular SSD card? Let me read here. Western Digital Blue 3D NAND SATA SSD. I don't think this is what they're advertising, is it? The Western Digital Blue 3D drive is a drive that we really like. In fact, it's one of our runners-up as the best SSD for most people, right behind the awesome Samsung 860 EVO. That's all I've been buying is Samsung 860 EVOs. Those are fantastic solid-state drives. What we really like about it is it's nearly identical processor as the SanDisk Ultra 3D, its ability to sustain write speeds during large jobs. You have to have an M. Oh, your PC must support an M.2 drive. That's the difference here. Oh, most recent laptops should support it. It's a relative recent technology. You won't want to hop on the disk deal if your system only accepts SSDs in the traditional 2.5-inch square form factor. So that it is. It looks different. So it's long and skinny. Again, this is different than your traditional solid-state drive that comes in 2.5-inch form factor that's the same as a regular spinning hard drive, all right? So be aware on this deal that make sure your laptop supports it, okay? Or your computer supports it. First wave of 2018 iPad Pro reviews praised new features but warn on price and OS limitations. I had a buddy of mine complaining today online. He said, I'm working with a lot of data on my iPad Pro. He said, and he was in a foreign country visiting. He said, I wish I could plug this thing into a hard drive and offload some stuff. He said, the connectivity's not good. I can't get it to the cloud fast enough. And very, very frustrated, which to me shows a limitation on the iPad. Now, obviously, they make those sticks. They're like 256 gigs. It'll plug into an iPad's power port. But he didn't have one of those. He just wanted to use a Western Digital drive, and you know, yeah, challenges there. But good write-ups on the new iPad Pro. All right. I still think if they're going to really make the jump the shark here, they need the ability to have micro SD card or something like that plug into these devices, or start coming out with some hard drives, and they probably do exist, but I haven't seen them on how much they cost, that you can leave plugged in and do work on. There's a good iPhone XR review and talking about keeping compromises to a minimum, and it's a great phone for a lot of folks that want to upgrade but don't want to jump to the extra expense of a XS or an XS Max. Gab is back online. If you remember, Gab was taken offline by being banned by GoDaddy and PayPal after the synagogue shooter's account was found on there. So they have found a new partner, another, top-level domain company in Seattle, of all places, a company called Epic. They're going to get there. They have no idea what's coming down upon them. They made this announcement. They're back online, and they've been able to work with this company called Epic. The social justice warriors will go after this company in such a big way. They'll take a beating on this. So anyway, Gab is back online. A folding Galaxy phone is supposedly coming this week, unless Samsung has been trolling. After 4 years, dozen of rumors, several patents, and one profile pic, Samsung appears to be finally ready to and on the verge of showing off its first folding Galaxy phone. Oh, do you want one of these? I will have to see what it looks like. Chrome is going to be adding, will soon add ad block to an entire website if it shows abusive ads. I'll say that again. Chrome will soon ad block an entire website if it shows abusive ads. Now, how does it determine that? How does it figure this out? I guess it's something they have some log. You can override it. Or if the sites were being reported to serving abusive experiences, wow. Sites will give owners 30-day grace period to clean up their sites after an abusive experience is reported. So it's, I guess, people reporting sites that are going to get the slash here. Interesting move by Chrome. All right, we'll keep an eye on this, all right? According to PC World, it's time to start stashing stocking stuffers early with some awesome Amazon Echo Dot deals. So Black Friday is just around the corner, but you don't have to wait. Today, the second generation Echo Dot is $30, down from list price of $40, or you can save $60 when you buy four, bringing them down to just $25 each. I've got a Dot in my bedroom. Love it. It's a nice little device. You don't even have to hook it up to an external speaker, although that's what it's recommended to do, because it has a little speaker in it already, but nice little device. The iRobot Roomba 675 robot vacuum cleaner is down to $248. Great deal. I think mine is the 700 series. I tell you what, that Roomba gets a workout, but it is reporting my room stuff back to Google now. You can watch your favorite show in 4K with a $49 Roku streaming stick. So if you've got a 4K TV, $49 gets you this update, and it has four times the wireless range than the previous gen model. So I don't know if this is an updated device or not. No, it sells normally for about $60, so it's a few dollars off. You haven't seen this low since May. All these deals will be linked up in the show notes. They do not contain any affiliate links for this show, so just let you know that. Also, a comparison between the OnePlus 6T versus a Google Pixel 3 XL. Some information on which one you should buy, gives you pros and cons of each. So if you're an Android user and you're thinking about making the jump, that link will be in the show notes for you. All right, final article tonight. Oh, I've already talked about this. The Apple Watch 5.1.1 is out and available. Let me see what we've got in here for comments. I think something came in. I'm on the wrong email. Let's see here. GNC comments. It's loading. Yes, I got an email from Sam. Todd, what does Apple know about the future? Apple is a $1 trillion that has a history of accurate predictions. You don't invent the iPhone and grow to $1 trillion by getting this wrong. Apple's recent software updates give you a glimpse into the future they see. And he sent me a link here that says, do you want to allow Facebook.com to use cookies and website data while browsing the website? This will allow Facebook.com to track your activity. It has an allow button. But Safari is actually doing some blocking of Facebook's tracking pixel. So if you've enabled, allowed Facebook to use cookies on some websites, they're blocking social media tracking pixels, making it harder for advertising platforms such as Facebook to track you and retarget you. Facebook was the first of other platforms will be next. He goes on to say, number two, the iPhone provides screen time and time limits. In the latest iOS 12 software update for iPhone, Apple introduced a screen time feature that tracks how much time you use your phone each day and what apps you do it in. Now, they've had this in Android for a while. You can even set daily time limits for different apps. Take a guess who got hit hard with this. The two biggest time sucks on most people's iPhones are Facebook and Instagram. This feature gives users awareness and how much time they're wasting and hits Facebook hard. I agree. Sam also goes into saying, number three, Mac's new OS includes a dark mode. In the latest Mac OS Mojave, Apple introduced a dark mode, a color scheme that makes it easier for you to focus on the immediate task. What can we learn from all three of these updates? Apple understands that the world is dying for focus. They're changing their devices and software to guide users away from distraction and towards self-controlled focus. This is just the beginning. Over the next decade, I predict that technologies will be invented in order to shield you from other technologies. It will be an innovation arms race to protect the people from the oversaturation of existing technology. Well, the question really is on this, if you think about this, Sam, is, are they protecting us for their benefit? So he goes on to say why. Because in a modern world, the game is more of what you ignore rather than what you pay attention to. Oh, I think that's true. It's a game of who can ignore and focus. If you're falling victim to this neurotic ADD plague that's sweeping the planet, right now you need to get yourself fixed before it's too late. Want to know the best place to get started? And he basically has a link to an article for me. So, what do you guys think? Do you think Apple's poking us, trying to focus us into watching what they want us to watch and try to remove distractions? Do you think that's really the case? Sam does. What's your guys' thought? Geeknews@gmail.com. All right, we're going to get off in here. I want to thank everybody for being part of the show tonight or listening to the show today, whichever that may be. If you've been watching us live, thanks for hanging out. And looks like the live stream on Facebook ended prematurely. Isn't that lovely? Well, I wasn't even paying attention. Wow, everything's down. Oh, isn't that great? The stream died. So we're not even online. So it looks like YouTube is still online, but everything else died. But other than that, everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Hana. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central podcast. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Don't forget about our sponsor. Don't forget about becoming an insider. Your support, your financial support is greatly appreciated. All right, everyone, we'll see you next time. Everyone, take care. Aloha.